Hi guys, and welcome to our Sunday message. I really trust that the Lord will encounter you and that you will encounter the love of God. By His Spirit, I pray that we'll have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to perceive the spiritual truths of the Lord and of His Word. I really trust that where you are sitting, we are receiving this message, that you will say yes to whatever is true and holy and in line with God's Word and Spirit. So join me as I trust that the Lord will, through His strength, make us a people to stand. The Lord has encouraged us prophetically by saying we need to be a people with shields of faith. And I trust that you've been doing that this week. I trust that you've been making that word your own. Foundationally, last week we said to one another that we are constantly in a spiritual war. But we take heart. We take heart from one another. We take heart from the Spirit of the Lord that gives us faith. We take heart from the Word of God. We take heart because we know that we're pilgrims, but we're heading for eternity with our God. And our reality is that of His Word. Our reality is that of Jesus Christ. And I trust that the Lord will really come and stir a deep faith once again today as we finish up this short series that sets us up for the rest of this year. In having the full armor of God in our lives. And so we know by now we're in a spiritual war, as we rightfully said. And last week, we read in 2 Corinthians 10 the following. Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly or carnal, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. And so we said to one another, let's step back and realize we're fighting spiritual battles that eventually then manifests in the flesh. Let's not start to try to figure out the fleshly battles, sickness and poverty, death, and the enemy that kills, steals, and destroys. No, let's trust that God will enable us to see spiritually, fight the war in the right place, and then see life and life in abundance manifest in our lives. Now, as that scripture says, many of these battles firstly starts off demonically, but happens in our mind. And so we need to take every thought captive and bring it unto obedience to Christ. And I trust that you've been doing it this week. Second to that, in preparation, I just realized foundationally, maybe we should look at scripture to encourage us. And maybe if you're listening to this message and it sounds like absolute gibberish to you, I want to hold scripture before you as well. Because I believe as we have faith in Christ and have the Holy Spirit, it's then that our eyes are open, and by the grace of God, nothing that we can do, we are enabled to see. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12 to 14 says the following. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. Now that word folly is moreia in Greek, and it means silliness, absurdity, and foolishness. So I want to encourage you, believer, sometimes you might share something with somebody or read something, and to the world out there it seems like folly, foolishness, or silliness. Yet it's by the grace of God that you've received the Spirit that opens up your eyes. So be encouraged that this is the truth of the Word and this is the truth of God. It goes on to say in the Scripture, and He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And so maybe you might be listening to this and thinking, I don't understand the nonsense that Retief is talking about. Then I want to invite you to say, Jesus, please, if this is at all true and if you are actually out there, I want to receive you, and through having faith in you and confessing you as Lord, I want to receive your Spirit so that I can be spiritually minded and that my eyes can be opened as I get born again to understand the things of the Spirit that only the Lord can show me if I have His Spirit. And so I want to invite you to do that and then continue to listen as the Lord wants to encourage all of us to be strengthened to stand in 2021. Let's pray. Father God, firstly, we thank you for those that want to receive Christ. that they can say in their heart, yes, if you are there, Jesus, I want to give you my life. Come and forgive me my sins. I want to receive you. And by receiving you, receive your spirit so that I can see this battle for real. That I can also have a full armor of God. And that I can fight the real fights of this life to live for eternity. Lord, we don't want to be people that win at Monopoly. Lord, we want to be a people that see life for what it really is because of the grace of Christ, because of the grace of God. So Lord, have your way today. And as I said, Lord, may we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to perceive. And Lord, may you come and again snuff out, take out, distinguish between right and wrong, light and darkness, and then also extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy in our lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, Lord. Amen. So we're camping in Ephesians 6 as we look at the full armor of God. And we've already looked at the shield of faith. But today we're just quickly going to look at the other elements and say, how can we make it part of our lives so that we can be a people that stand, and not only then stand, but take ground for the kingdom and finish our race strongly. So let's read in Ephesians 6 again together. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. Not our strength, but His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God, as we're going to trust to do from today on, so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, as we know, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual demonic forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything, to take your stand. And to take your stand in 2021. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation take the shield of faith, as we know by now, and with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Let's keep on praying and interceding in the Spirit for all believers and those that we love and those around us as well. And so here's an illustration quickly of the couple of elements of this armor that the Lord gives us. A spiritual truth seen by spiritual people that has the Spirit of God because of faith in Christ. Firstly, we've got the helmet of salvation that we'll look at today. We've got the breastplate of righteousness. We've got girdle of truth or the belt of truth. We've got the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. And then the shoes of peace or the shoes of readiness to declare the gospel of God. And so you'll see just quickly that every part or every element of this armor needs faith. Faith for salvation, faith for righteousness, faith to go out and share the gospel, faith to believe and trust in the Word of God. And so in all of them, let's trust that the Lord really gives us an amazing faith. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote to the Ephesians in this particular letter, helping them to walk out their Christianity, and indirectly then, and directly by the Spirit today, maybe to you and to me, have been writing to us to help us to do and to walk out our Christianity, to understand the battle, to understand the fight. And so there's different elements of this armor, metaphors of a truth in the Spirit that we make our own so that we can stand and obviously finish our races strong. But the beauty of that is that Paul, in giving us these different parts of the armor, also actually indirectly helps us to know what the enemy does and what the arrows usually is that the enemy use against God's people. We already know that the enemy is what? He's the father of lies, John 8. And out of Revelation 12, we know he's the accuser of the brethren. So he'll come with lies, deception, and confusion, or he'll come and condemn. Often thoughts demonically inspired thoughts that attacks the people of God, so that we can be pacified, so that we can be taken out, so that we don't walk in our full identity, that we don't walk in confidence and boldly and see the kingdom come daily in our lives and in the lives of others. And so that is the battle at hand. But the beauty of what Paul has given to us and what he shows us and what the Lord writes to us through Paul in this particular part of Scripture is that as we look to the different parts of the armor, we actually see what the enemy does. Let's see here firstly with the helmet of salvation. I need a helmet of salvation because what? The enemy will attack the truth of my salvation. The obvious thing in this world, in any battle, or even in sport, so to speak, even though this is life and death, you need to know your opponent. You need to know your enemy. We don't want to know too much about him, but we want to be wise. And so we will need a helmet of salvation because he will come and question your salvation. He will come and question the strength of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He will come and question your faith in Christ. And then what salvation leads us to where? It leads us into identity. It leads us into adoption, being adopted by God, receiving the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And so the enemy will attack that identity of us. And so it's very obvious then that we can grow through the Word, grow through connection with God, and grow in intimacy so that we are assured of our salvation and that it protects our mind, so to speak, so that the enemy can't take us out with these lies. Salvation also means that we will live for eternity with God. And so that's another place where we can realize, well, that's probably what that arrow is for. That we will be so focused upon the here and the now and not eternally focused. Paul also then gives us the breastplate of righteousness. And so that means that the enemy will come with arrows. He will come with an attack that will come and question your righteousness. Now righteousness is just in very simple layman's terms to be in right standing with God. Relationship with God was severed because of sin and death that entered into this world, and because Jesus paid the perfect price and he gave his blood and life for us, he died and was resurrected, and through faith in him we could have been restored in relationship with God and restored into righteousness. We can have that connection with God again, obviously. But the enemy will constantly, through accusation and through lies and deception, try to take away your breastplate of righteousness that protects your heart. And so we can then start to realize this is the scheme of the enemy. Where do I feel out of whack with the Lord? Where can I not honestly and truthfully, boldly have access to his presence? And what is the truth? And so as we come and receive the word again, we can discern the lie of the enemy and the attack of the enemy. We also have the belt of truth. Now, this is pretty obvious. The enemy comes with deception. And so that's why we need to be girded with the truth of God. And we'll look at that element just shortly. At this stage, we just quickly want to say, in seeing what we have, we realize what the tricks of the enemy might be. And the next one, the shoes of readiness to declare the gospel of peace. Now, that very simply is that the enemy will come and try to pacify us. Make us a lukewarm Christian fellowship, a lukewarm church, so to speak, so that we will not share the gospel with other people. And so that is very simply what we can see, if we reverse this over, what the enemy will try to do in our lives. Second to last is the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. And again, it's pretty obvious that the enemy would love to keep you out of the Word. The enemy would love you to not read your Word. He would love you not to meditate upon, receive revelation, and obviously walk in the authority of the Word of God. And so this world is full of other stuff. There's a million and one other things that you can read and do and keep yourself busy and not get in, not get stuck in, not dig into the Word of God. And then lastly, we've already looked at the shield of faith. And so in looking at the elements of the armor, the full armor of God, now we can quickly see what the deceiver and the father of lies would love to do in this massive battle. And you can just go and sit still and do the math in your life. Where is he taking you out of the Word? Where has he made you passive towards the gospel and sharing it with other people? Maybe fear of man. Where has he tried to come and steal the truth that should gird you and keep the balance in your life, the belt of truth? in reading other stuff and taking in a bunch of other nonsense, where you try to come and question your salvation and then obviously try and steal your righteousness. And then we can stop and say, Holy Spirit, please help me to grow again and to stand fully in the truth of my salvation, the confidence of my righteousness, Christ as the fullness of my truth, the shoes that is always ready to share the love and the gospel and the truth and the power of the gospel with other people, the shield of faith and the sword that is the word of God. Lord, help me with that. Now that we know how obvious it is what the enemy will try to do in our lives, let's be wise. But let's not focus upon that. Let's focus upon what we do have and what we should grow in to be a people that has the full armor of God on daily. A people that stand, people that grows in faith, and a people that can take ground with God. A people that have life and life in abundance because of winning the battles in the Spirit made manifest in their lives. And now in preparation, it was so beautiful how I just realized that if you look at the elements, the different parts of the armor of God, I've just realized that Jesus is the sum total of our armor. Who is the one that gives salvation? Who is the one that gives righteousness? Who is the one that is the truth? Who is the one that gives us and is the one that came to seek and save the lost? Who is the sum total of the readiness to share the good news? Who's the one that is the word, the Logos? And who's the one that gives us that shield of faith? And so journey quickly with me as we look at the different elements, reminding yourself that Jesus is the armor. And as Romans 13 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. And so if you want to be spiritually minded and walk in the Spirit, this is what we need to do daily. This is how we're going to grow. And this is how we're going to stand as a church community and as believers, is we are going to put on Jesus. We're going to put on these different elements that is Christ in and of itself. And so let's quickly look again at the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so by grace, guys, you've been saved. And so we can ask, Lord, have grace on many others. But we need to know that when we put on this helmet of salvation, so to speak in the Spirit, to know that we've been saved, but it was by grace. And we need to constantly have a heart of humility, saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for your plan for my life. And thank you that it was the grace of God. Always be reminded, because pride and haughtiness would love to come and steal that and knock that helmet off your head, so that you can be an open target to the enemy, an open target to be attacked by the enemy. Once pride and self-righteousness and a religious spirit, so to speak, steps in. Romans 10 verse 9 to 10 says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confessed and are saved. And so very simply put, to truly walk with a helmet of salvation on in this year, we need to be people that think saved. Think like a new creation. Think like a new creation in Christ Jesus. Think saved. Don't think and don't operate like the world. Don't be a Sunday Christian. Don't only in the morning spend a couple of minutes with the Lord and for the rest of the day you just go on your merry way. No, think saved. Live saved constantly. Because out of that place of salvation, we already know that we've been adopted and that we belong. We have access to God. Relationally, we've been restored and we've received identity. God said, Matthew 3 and 4, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And right thereafter, Jesus went into the desert and the enemy attacked him. Questioning what? His identity. Guys, this is a place where we can be attacked, but this is a place we should be standing. To know that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're not firstly and foremostly what we do. We're not firstly and foremostly the mistakes that we've made. We're definitely not our sin. We're not even our family line, so to speak, or our culture firstly and foremostly. But we are a people of God, sons and daughters of God. And so, which brings us me to the second thing that the helmet brings forth. It brings an eternal focus. The enemy would love us to just to be focused upon the here and the now. But we are a people that need to be eternally focused. John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me," that's God, "has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." So think saved firstly, and then secondly, think eternally. Think eternal life. I just realized recently with my mom passing away, I had to step back and remind myself, I had to put on the helmet of salvation and realize again that the only thing I really do have that I cannot lose is the fact that my mom was saved, the fact that I am saved, helmet of salvation. And then my wife, Edna, is saved. My three kids, they are saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing I cannot lose, but that is the most valuable thing. I wanted to say asset, but that is the most valuable thing that I do carry and that I do have. Is the eternal life of my loved ones. Not even that, all of you guys that I walk a road with, and hopefully many others. Because this life is short, but eternity is going to be a while. And so our focus need not only be here, but there. And so be girded, be strengthened with a helmet of salvation and the truth of eternity. And then secondly, we've got the breastplate of righteousness. It covers the heart. Right standing in any relationship is so important. My kids jumping upon my lap, knowing that everything is fine, a confidence, an identity, an acceptance and a belonging is just stirred up in their little hearts if they know that they belong and that we're in right standing. And likewise, we've all been made in that way. As we know that we're in right standing with God, there's no sin and nothing that separates us from Him. There's a confidence, a boldness, an identity truth that stands up in our hearts, so that we can confidently take on this world, that we can confidently stand in a dark and turbulent world that we find ourselves in this season. But righteousness, we also know, comes only through faith in Christ. The enemy would love to attack you by making you self-aware, constantly trying to judge and measure yourself. But the Lord says, no. Put your trust and put your faith in Christ Jesus. The full price has been paid for you, but have full faith in Him and no trust in yourself. And as you do that and become Christ-focused, a God-fidence, so to speak, arises in our lives, where we have an absolute trust in God and not in ourselves and in our own ways. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And the Amplified says, "He made Christ who knew no sin to judicially be sin on our behalf." And so He paid on our behalf, guys. And we need to be reminded of that daily. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. So that in Him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to Him and placed in a right relationship with Him by His gracious loving kindness. And so where sin brought brokenness and separation between us and God, Jesus came and He restored, He rebuilt that bridge. He tore the veil so that we can access the presence of God, that we can get onto the lap of God, so to speak, and said with respect. So that confidence in identity, confidence in authority, and confidence in calling can stand up against in our hearts. The enemy would love to take that out, but we've got faith and we've got righteousness, faith in Christ. The third thing is truth. And again, we all know this by now, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so a belt does what? It keeps everything together. No one can stand with their trousers on their ankles. Neither can you run, so to speak, as well. And so we want everything in our life to be balanced, to be girded, and to be taken and held together by the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, here we see the beautiful manifestation of Jesus keeping everything together. Not only that, we want to be a people that know what the truth is. We want to be discerning people to know what the lies and deceptions of the enemy is as well. Remember, he comes with thoughts. And we need to take every thought captive and bring it unto obedience to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10. And so you need to practice this daily. It's not just a once-off. It's not just, yes, listen to the message, I'm going to do this and go on with my life. No, it is a practicing daily to take every thought captive, to keep that belt on, keep that belt on, keep that belt on, so that we can see life and life an abundant manifest in our life, because we've been fighting the battle in the spirit, because we're spiritually minded and the Lord is helping us to do life. John 8:31-32 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Guys, if you abide in the word of God, you are truly a disciple. If you abide in the Logos, if you abide in the word of God, you are truly a disciple of God. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's not waste time. A believing friend of mine a couple of years back said, very simply, if you don't like your harvest, change your seed. In other words, if you don't like the things, the fruit, the stuff you see in your life happening all around you, there's brokenness, killing, stealing, and destroying all over in your life, step back. Say, Lord, is there something wrong with my belt? Do I actually have my belt on, Lord? How can I change the seed? How can I change what I take in so that what gets out and comes out of my life changes? For you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Fourthly, the shoes of readiness to declare the gospel. Remember, we want the full armor. The shoes of readiness to declare the gospel of peace. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10. Seek and save the lost. And then he came, he gave us the example of how to live. He not only did that, but he paid the perfect price, gave us his spirit to help us to actually be able to do it, because we couldn't do it by our own means and through the flesh. Then he enabled us to do it, but then he gave us a commandment and he said, hey guys, use your feet for the gospel. I remember Jesus saying, when they were looking for him right back in the early parts of the gospel, don't you know I am about my Father's business? Don't you know when I'm busy with my Father's things? And I want us to be a church that is busy with the things of God. Are you actually ready to share the gospel with other people? Because he said in his great command, go out to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I've taught you. Let's brush off our shoes of readiness and make sure that we've got Christ upon our feet, so to speak, that we'll be able to share the gospel freely, daily. That we're also not ashamed of the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's God's power of salvation unto those who believe. And so let's be that people that share that and live that out daily. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is entrenched in all of these elements. We can see it all over. But the Word is the sword of the Spirit. In other words, there's power when you use the Word of God. You remember, life and death is in the tongue. And as you speak, as you confess, as you quote Scripture even, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, it is powerful against this demonic fight, the spiritual battle, the spiritual war that we're fighting. And so we hit back. Many of these elements that we have on in the full armor is defensive, but the word is one that you can say, step back in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Even when Jesus was confronted by the enemy, he replied with Scripture, speaking from the word. And so believers, we need to be a people that know how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in 2021. You need to know how effectively to use the sword of the Spirit to win this battle. But you've got a helper, the Holy Spirit. You've got a body of believers around you. And so we trust we'll be a people that do that daily. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And so when it comes to these thoughts that flood your way, is it of the Lord? Is it of myself? Or is it demonically inspired? The word of God will help you to dissect, to make sure, is it a soul or a spirit thought? Is this of God or not? Will this lead to life or will this lead to death? But if you don't have the sword, if you've got a butter knife, you're not going to get far in dissecting the things that are thrown your way. You're not going to get far in standing in the war that we face. Remember, it's a short time of battle for a long time of reward. It is a short time of battle for a very long time of reward. I want the spoils of war. I want the spoils of war because I'm clothed with the perfect warrior, Jesus Christ. I'm clothed with every element of Christ daily. And more than that, I want you that listens to this and say yes in their heart. For you that journey with us, I want you to be full of the Lord in the Spirit, using the Word of God effectively so that the short battle can be won in your life and that you will enjoy also that eternal reward with us. So then faith comes by the hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A very favorite verse of myself. The voice of God is so important in fighting this battle and hearing what He wants to say. And so faith comes by the hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I know that word is rhema there. But often we need to read the Logos, the full word, the Bible, Word of God. And then He highlights those that are applicable to us, those that are important. And so I've been in a battle many times in my life, and then the Lord will just highlight something like Romans 8:28. Everything will work out for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That in the flesh, it seems like chaos. In the battle, in the war, it feels like you're definitely losing. But the Lord says, no, I will let everything work out for the good of those who love me. And then you need to pick that up, and you need to start fighting that fight. You need to warfare. You need to stand. And then as the season change, you can see that God has been preparing you. God has been fighting that war, and God will win that war. So church, I believe the Lord is encouraging us. He's forewarning us, but He's also then challenging us to put on the full armor of Him daily. Remember, as we said last week, it's through relationship, real relationship with Christ. It's through the Word, the Word, the Word. It is intimacy with this Holy Spirit. To look at and to make other people and the testimonies of Word your own so that your faith can be strong. And also to know that you're planted in the body and to be connected with fellow believers so that we can be a people that are strengthened by God's vast strength to stand. Let's be a people with helmets of salvation, identity. Let's be a people with breastplates of righteousness, right standing and boldness, so that we can walk out in authority the calling on our lives. People with Jesus as the truth constantly in our life. Shoes of readiness to share the gospel. Not fear of man, but the fear of God. Shields of faith and swords, that is the Word. Jesus is your full armor. Jesus is your full armor. Put Him on daily. Put Jesus Christ on daily so that we can stand. Extinguish the fiery darts and the schemes of the enemy. Have an eternal focus and enjoy the spoils of war one day. Let's not get focused upon this season, the difficulties, the challenges of this season alone. Guys, we're in a bigger battle, but we're in it for a much bigger victory. Christ has already won that victory. We're going to see it be made manifest in eternity completely. Have faith. Keep on standing, support one another, love one another, and stay intimate with the Lord, daily seeking out His presence. We've got one life. Let's use it for good. Let's use it for the kingdom of God. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, thank You that You just help us in doing just that. That by Your grace, Lord, that we'll be a people that clothe ourselves with Christ daily, the full armor. A people that have eternal focus, that the enemy cannot take down with lies, deceptions, and accusation. Lord, make us wise to see, to hear, and to perceive. Thank You, God, for Your grace. Thank You for Your scripture. Thank You for Your word that is alive. And thank You, Lord, that You will carry, protect, and bless this church community through this year. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, have grace on us daily. Lead us daily. And thank You for Your goodness. Thank You that everything will work out for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose, even and especially 2021. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. My faith is stirred. My confidence is in the Lord, not in myself and nothing else. And I know that He's got a good plan. I want to follow Him daily. I pray that for my family, for your family, for our church community. And if you're listening in, I pray that for you as well, if that's the hunger in your heart. Have a great week. We chat next week. God bless. Bye.